Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast. Mr.
Sandman, you get the idea? Bring me a
dream. It's on the internet. Cutest that
I've ever seen. Go on. Give him two
lips like roses. It's a great program. And tell him
that his lonesome nights. Here's the Sandman.
Stocks dropped on Friday after a highly anticipated inflation report showed a faster-than-expected rise in prices and consumer sentiment hit a record low. The Dow average shed 730 points, or 2.3%. S&P was off 2.5%, and the NASDAQ sank 3.1%. The sell-off was broad, with nearly every member of the 30-stock Dow in the red. Declining stocks outnumbered advancing ones on the New York Stock Exchange by roughly 9-1. Apple dropped 2.9%, and the drop for stocks means that Wall Street is headed for another week of losses, the Dow lower, NASDAQ, and S&P. What kicked this off was the Thursday report, which I'll talk about in a minute, but Friday, during the open, we had the May Consumer Price Index report, and this came in highest level since 1981, which put pressure on the stock market because, again, of the fears of inflation. The report showed that prices rose 8.6% year over year and 6% when you exclude food and energy prices. Economists surveyed by Dow Jones were expecting year over year increases of 8.3%, so it was slightly higher than expectations, and 5.9% for the core index. The two-year treasury this past week also jumped up above 3%, which is the highest level we've seen since 2008. So what happened this week and why did stocks start to go down? Well, like I've been saying for a while now, stocks rallied since May 20th, primarily due to the hopes of a rate hike pause by the Fed. Remember, we were talking about that happening potentially in September, and reopening in China. And both of those factors slid backwards this past week, starting on Thursday. So it wasn't really a surprise that stocks started to drop that day. But the intensity of the drop, more than 2%, was bigger than the actual news. And that got some people a little bit excited, particularly when we had the hot CPI report that came out Friday morning. So circling back to the reasons for the overall decline this week, of course, hot inflation. Second, the China reopening went a little backwards this week as Shanghai and Beijing both said they were going to start imposing more lockdowns because COVID's getting out of hand again. And while the restrictions are minimal and only covered small parts of the city, it doesn't really matter because it's a reminder that China has not abandoned its zero COVID policy. And that means markets will continue to operate under the threat of surprise restrictions. Switching to the Fed and interest rates, rate futures for the end of the year, this is where the Fed fund futures are priced right now, hit a new high for the year. And this means the market's no longer pricing in a Fed pause like it was 2 weeks ago, and instead is pricing in the possibility that the Fed gets even more hawkish, i.e. raising more rates. So does the action we saw these last couple days mean that the rally is now over and we're going to retrace the May 20 lows? Remember, I said it wasn't an impossibility for that to happen, but I don't think it does. I think there's still going to be improvement in China, and I think the U.S. consumer will surprise a lot of us, and as we've seen with travel and hotels, continue to get out there and spend money. This week should be a reminder to all of you that markets do tend to overshoot things and information that comes out. We've seen this since May 20th on the upside, and now we're seeing it the last few weeks, particularly this week on the downside, I think overshooting the information that's out there because bottom line, there's still a lot of unknown. Turning to Europe, the European Community Bank also surprised markets this week on Thursday, when they talked about their rate decisions. Now, in the past, they were pretty clear about how they were going to raise rates and what they were going to do. But instead, the ECB said explicitly that they would hike 25 basis points in July. And President Lagarde said that a 50 basis point rate hike in September was a possibility. Now, this was a hawkish surprise to the market because the market didn't think that that was going to happen. And as the euro weakened after the meeting, the ECB rhetoric on rates remained hawkish. This didn't provide any sort of concrete plan to deal with what I'm going to call a major problem known as fragmentation. Now, what does that mean, and why should you care about fragmentation? Now, fragmentation is the idea that debt from fiscally weaker Southern European countries like Italy, Greece, Spain. I'm saying fiscally. I'm not picking on anybody here, okay? This is just fiscal responsibility. Italy, Greece, and Spain are fiscally weaker than, say, Germany or France. And so the idea is that these countries will fall much faster than, say, stronger Northern European countries' debt, a la Germany and France. And that, in turn, will cause funding problems for those economies, intensify recessions, and in some cases, reintroduce the idea EU countries could leave the EU overall. Remember Grexit and ETA leave, and of course we had Brexit as well from the UK. Now here's why that's a possibility. If the European Community Bank, like they've been talking about, dramatically hikes rates, it'll hit the weaker tourism-focused economies, again, Italy, Greece, and Spain, hardest, making those recessions deeper than the EU as a whole. In a recession, bond investors will sell the debt and send yields sharply higher in favor of higher quality German and French debt, meaning the weaker economies like Italy, Greece, Spain will have to pay much higher rates to borrow money and fund themselves. And if this gets bad enough, someone in those political systems will typically bring up the idea of controlling their own monetary policy, cutting rates, and again, breaking up the EU. So the net impact of this is exactly what we saw in the market. Rates went up in different cycles when this announcement was made. That's why, despite the commentary, the euro fell after the bank meeting and yields rose. We saw the yield on the 10-year Italian bond go up 25 basis points, while the yield on the 10-year bond only gained 10 basis points. So in essence, what's going on is the market is viewing the idea of fragmentation as a restrictor on the ECB's ability to hike rates substantially higher for fear it creates an environment where the entire EU is again called into question. Now, I know it's a pretty extreme scenario and a lot has to happen for that to become a reality, but it's something we're going to have to keep our eye on. And it does explain why this week we saw the price action that we did when it comes to international stocks in the Eurozone. And when the euro drops compared to the US dollar, all these phase into those sort of decisions. So again, it's just something to keep your eye on overall.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.